There is an eat and ask today, and there is a lot of food. There's enough for all of you. Please feel free to stay, whether you brought anything or not. We'd love to have you and just enjoy your company and fellowship with you. We're looking in Proverbs chapter 1, and there's an outline in your bulletin. If you care to use it, you can tell that I did not pass the Joe Saul School of Preaching. I have A, parents, B, peers, and C, wisdom. It was set up right there for alliteration, prudence, but I went with wisdom. So I failed the alliteration test. Jim's probably upset with me, but I don't always try to get three P's or three M's, but we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 2 today, Proverbs chapter 1, and hopefully we'll finish up this chapter today. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are easy to preach from straight through, maybe not verse by verse, but paragraph by paragraph. And then starting in chapter 10, you get a lot of different characteristics that you want to talk about, and that's when we'll look at those. So let me go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, that we might not walk in darkness, but we might have the light of your word to guide us in all righteousness. That we might know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. That we might know the power of God in raising him from the dead. We thank you for the promises you have made to us. And we look forward to the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might be with him throughout all eternity and worship him with the glory that is due his name. Teach us by your Spirit, prepare our hearts and our ears and our eyes to receive your truth, so that your name would be glorified in your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, peers, sometimes they cause problems, sometimes they're helpful. I remember preparing for a year at school, and one of the teachers stood up and was talking to the new parents and said something like, don't go out and get their lunch kit until you see what all the other children have, so that they will have a lunch kit that is in. And I said, I don't care which lunch kit is in. I care what's in the lunch kit. But peers will make you go buy the same lunch kit you have. They'll do that to you. And then you probably heard of this tribe. I don't know where it was, but the greatest achievement in the eyes of this tribe was to get someone to believe that you were their friend, and then you murdered them. The movie was called Peace Child. So how does that allow you to be friends with anyone? An individual was teaching the gospel to this tribe as much as he could through their language. And when he spoke of Judas betraying Jesus, they thought he was the hero. So keep your enemies close and your friends closer. That would certainly be true of this tribe. Well, we're going to look at what friends' counsel and suggestions are. But before we look at what the peers' voice is, we have three voices today that we listen to. The first voice we listen to is the parents' voice. That's in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, there are some words in this verse that are interesting. The word hear is the same word in Deuteronomy 6, where Israel is called to hear that the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, strength, and heart. Israel was called to hear what God was saying. This is the same word, Shema. Shema. Sons are supposed to Shema their father. They're supposed to listen to him and do what he says. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. This word teaching is Torah, your mother's law, your mother's commandments. Do what your mother says. Now, it's interesting, if you look at verse 8, it says, hear my son, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. This is where some real problems happen sometimes. As a young man grows up, and he starts feeling his responsibility of taking charge, so to speak, he begins to possibly not respect his mother anymore. We need to teach our sons, our young people, our children, that they are to hold on to and not forsake the Torah of their mother. It is almost supposed to be sacred, if you will. So Solomon nails it down pretty hard and fast. Hear, O my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. The exhortation in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we mentioned earlier reads this. Moses wrote, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Now, how were they supposed to be on their heart? You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What part of the day do you not need to teach your children the truth of God's word? When they're asleep. Otherwise, you're supposed to teach them from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. When they walk by the way, when they sit, when they eat, when they do anything. The Word of God is to have influence. This is what God told the fathers. They were supposed to listen to God, and the sons are supposed to listen to their father, the way the fathers listen to God. Unfortunately, not every parent in Israel taught his child the Word of God. So that we read in Judges, there arose a generation in Israel that did not know the Lord. How could that happen? How could that happen with feasts every month or two, sacrifices constantly, the Word of God being taught when you rise up and when you lie down? How could it have happened that an entire generation of Israelites didn't know the Lord? Somebody dropped the ball big time. So fathers, make sure you have instruction to give your children. Mothers, make sure you have teaching to give to your children. And children, make sure you honor it. The consequences, indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. It will make you beautiful. It actually uses a better descriptor in chapter 4, verse 9, when it talks about wisdom and wanting wisdom. It says, she, that's wisdom, will place on your head a garland of grace, and she will present you with a crown of beauty. Wisdom will crown you with beauty if you listen to her through your parents. In the Song of Solomon, which is a few books over, chapter 4, verse 9, Solomon tells his wife, "You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eye, with a single strand of your necklace." That's this word in Proverbs chapter 1, a necklace. The jewelry that Solomon's wife was wearing made her beauty stand out so much that he recognized a sparkle from that necklace made her even more beautiful. That's what listening to your parents will do. It'll make you beautiful as a bride is beautiful to her husband. The demonstration, we learned this a few months ago, years ago, in Jeremiah 35. The Rechabites, remember the Rechabites? They were told by their dad not to drink wine, not to live in houses, not to farm fields. And somebody offered them some wine. They said, "No, we're not supposed to drink any wine." Some people will take that verse completely out of context, but if they do, then they can't live in houses or farm fields either. But Jeremiah used this example of these children to say, this is how you're supposed to obey your Father in heaven. What he says you do. But you guys won't listen. The Rechabites have proven better than you are because they listened to their father and obeyed. Well, in every day and age, even in Solomon's day and age, there was the input from the parents, and then there was the input from friends, from peers. And Solomon says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." This word entice can be positive or negative. If we look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, I've enjoyed this translation of this verse. God has had it with the nation of Israel in Hosea. And he doesn't want any more. He says, "You are no longer my people. I'm no longer your God. It's over with." But then he says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will be persuasive in a way that no one will ever believe. And I will bring her back to me." He's talking about Israel. "I will bring her into the wilderness and speak kindly to her." God will persuade Israel to return. But sometimes this word means to deceive, to persuade in a bad way. And that's what's happening in verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice you and persuade you to go their way," and they'll add all kinds of things to it so that it makes it sound good, but it's not. He says, "Do not consent." The word means do not be willing. Do not jump in the group. "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit.'" What are the consequences of listening to these people? It says, "We will find all kinds of precious wealth and we will fill our houses with spoil." There's a great profit to listening to these people. You can make a lot of money listening to these people. He says, we will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Wow. That sounds good. All I have to do is go lie in ambush and knock some people off. Then I get to keep what they have. Is that anywhere near the teaching of the law of Moses? That's not anywhere close. It says, do not murder. It says, do not steal. If you're listening to your parents, you're not going to be murdering and stealing because they're teaching you the law. But these guys have no problems killing people to take what they have. He says in verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. There's no wisdom, there's no understanding in these people. They are brutal and they are murderous. The counsel that Solomon gives to them is, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Now, Solomon was the son of who? Whom? David. What did David say? David said in Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. It doesn't say David wrote this, but I think David did. If he didn't write it, he taught Solomon these things. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Is there some counsel of wicked going on here? Yeah, there's some advice being given that's totally anti-God. It says, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. David would have taught his son Solomon. And Solomon is now teaching his sons what he was taught. But what happened to Solomon? He didn't even listen to the counsel that he gave his own sons. And there's a deception here. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. Okay, a bird lands over there and you want to catch it in a net. So you lay your net out and you start putting little pieces of food on it so that the bird will fly on the net and you can catch it. Is that bird that stupid? That he sees you baiting the net and he'll fly over there anyway? That would be a really dumb bird. You have to hide the net. You know what these guys set the net out for? Their own blood. They are spreading a net that is obvious to everyone that's going to bring about their own demise and their death. They are stupid. They are foolish. How can you accept counsel from a group of people who are dumber than a bird? It is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait. They think for someone else's blood, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. so are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessor. So what did Paul say in Ephesians 6? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with a promise that you may live long on the earth. You got two choices here. You can listen to your parents or you can listen to your friends. If you listen to your friends and they lead you down the wrong path, you're going to end up dead in jail. You've seen the documentaries on the people who, the athletes who made it through and didn't end up in the street gangs, and they talk about going home and they know this guy that they went to school with is dead and this guy is in jail because they lived lives of wickedness. That's what happens when you listen to peers who are foolish. But we're all that way, aren't we? Psalm 73, we all know what that says, don't we? Because we've all been here. Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. We're going to have a praise hymn, right? But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. There are these people at school. There are these people down the road. There are these people next door that they get everything. And they're always doing what's wrong. And it seems like God blesses them anyway. Yeah, that's true. Injustice is in the world for a reason and is ordained by God for His people to understand who He is. There are no pains in their death and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Some people get away with everything. That's right. Well, then I want to be like them. I want to get away with everything. You won't. How many people join a gang or something like that and get caught? I had a coworker talk about this convoy they had of about 7 cars. And they were all speeding. And the cop pulls her over and says, what's the deal? I said, well, we were all going to the same place, so we were all speeding. And says, you know never to be the last car in a group of cars that are speeding. You're the one who gets caught. She goes, I know. Yeah, it looks like everybody else got off, and they did. But she got caught. Therefore, pride is their necklace. That's an ugly necklace. Not like the one that comes from obeying your parents. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouths against the heavens and their tongue parades through the earth. They don't care what God thinks. They don't care what God says. They've thumbed their nose at God and God hadn't done anything. They don't fear God. Therefore, as people return to this place and waters of abundance are drunk by them, they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked. And always at ease, they have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands from innocence. I've done what was right, but it was worthless. I get nothing for it. Everybody else gets blessed for doing what's wrong, and I get cursed for doing what's right. I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said thus, I will speak. Behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God, and then I perceived their end. God's wheels of justice may grind slowly, but they grind very finely. God will make sure justice takes place. He has, in His sovereign good pleasure, allowed a measure of injustice at this time. And it is for our good. That's difficult to conceive and difficult to understand, but how is there grace without injustice? Aren't we all rebels against God? And high-handed offenders against the Most High? Aren't we all guilty of injustice? Is it right that Christ died on the cross to save me, a guilty sinner, from my sins? That's not right. But it is the will of God. And so what appears to be an injustice turns out to be the most just act of a just God that could ever be performed. He is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I perceive their end. Do we perceive our end? Surely you set them in slippery places and cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. Do you realize when these people get away with this, it is not for their good? They are in slippery places on the super slide to hell. And they don't know it. And they don't care. If they knew of a place called hell, and they knew they were headed toward it, what would be their reaction? Fear. That would scare them to death. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you'll knock it off when you fear God. We are not to fear man who can kill the body. Imagine somebody coming through those doors with a machine gun and fires bullets against this wall. Would that be scary? Yes, Jesus says, don't fear those people. Really? All they can do is kill the body. Fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. He is the one to fear. Not someone who can just kill the body. And I have to admit, I fear anybody who can kill my body and wants to kill it. I would fear them. How much more should I fear the one who can cast my soul into hell? And then going along with the deception in Romans chapter 1, what was read for us this morning. I know a lot of people say America is going down the toilet, and it probably is. But I ask God to remember mercy in times of judgment. And we think that certain laws and certain permissions that have been given in this country show that this country is going down the tubes. It hadn't reached the end yet. You may think this is as bad as it gets. That's not what Paul said. Paul said after you get to where the United States is in the year 2016, let me tell you what happens afterward. He says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. Who acknowledges God today? Almost no one. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. There's coming a day that it seems like Paul is saying everybody will be filled with these attitudes. there'll be no civility at all. And somebody will kill you as easily as they kill someone else to take what they have. And we see some of that happening even today. They are slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. But Solomon said there was nothing new under the sun. These guys can even invent evil. Oh my, look what it says in verse 30. Disobedient parents. Once children start disobeying the parents, who's the only other voice they can hear? Their peers. And what are their peers doing? Read verse 29. That's going to be a bad, bad day. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. Can you believe that? How deceptive is sin? That you would say something like, yeah, I'm going to hell, but so are all my friends, so we'll have a good time there. Really? That's what you think? I give hearty approval to everybody who practices the same things I do, so we'll meet together in a place called hell after we die. Yeah, we know we're worthy of death, but we don't care. Pride. Arrogance. Disobedient to parents. That's what Solomon's talking about in Proverbs chapter 1. There will be a group of people who obey their parents, and there'll be a group of people who don't, who follow the teachings of men. And it'll be a very evil time on the earth. But there's a third voice. Now, why is there a third voice? Verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Why is there a third voice? Sometimes parents don't fulfill their responsibility. Sometimes peers are not that bad. So how do you judge the teaching of a parent? How do you judge the motives of a peer? You listen to wisdom. And what is wisdom doing? Wisdom is shouting in the street. She lifts her head in the square as if to put her hands around her mouth and say, "Listen!" Did y'all hear that? Some people won't. Some people can't hear. They can hear physically, but they can't hear spiritually. And you can scream at them, and they can't hear. It says, at the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance and the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? Those of you who know nothing, why are you satisfied with knowing nothing? Why do you want to be simple-minded? When you can know the God of the universe who created all things and redeemed his people for himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Why are you satisfied with knowing so little? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing. Why do you delight in scoffing? Why? I don't understand it. What is the deal with the atheists? Why are they so concerned that a God is worshipped if they don't believe he exists? Why do you keep scoffing? What's your point? And fools hate knowledge. I tell you the truth, and you hate it, and you hate me for telling you. Fools all of them fools. Why do you want to stay a fool? Why do you want to stay a scoffer? Why do you want to stay simple-minded when wisdom can change you? Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I'll give you wisdom. I'll make you understand what you're supposed to do. But because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Isn't that what you experience when you try to give somebody wisdom? They want none of it. Now, the wise man will increase in wisdom, but the fool despises wisdom and instruction. Notice what wisdom says in verse 26. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. God is very good at reciprocating and punishing sin. He does it perfectly. So you didn't want to listen to wisdom? Wisdom won't listen to you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. They wanted to do sin. That's what's going to satisfy them. It says in the book of Proverbs that wickedness or foolishness is sport to the fool. What do people do in sports? They train, they learn, they train more, they work hard, they come in second place, they work harder to come in first place. Look at the Olympics. What are these people doing for these 4 years? Doing nothing but swimming in a pool for 8 hours a day. Good grief. That's what a fool is. A fool spends 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day trying to figure out a better way to be foolish. It's like sport to him. And it says here, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them. The simple-minded individual who's just content with knowing what he knows and not knowing anything else comes to the fork in the road, doesn't know which way to go, doesn't have any way to judge which way to go, and he just goes down the road to destruction. He doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't want to know what's happening. The waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, so what's the big deal? Why do you tell me what I need to do? There's no God. His complacency will destroy him. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. The writer of Psalm 2 said, when men thought to throw off the bands that God had put on them, we will break these bands apart. God sits in the heavens and laughs, as if to say, you're kidding me. You puny man think you can overrule me, the Almighty God. That is hysterical. But then he will speak to them in his anger. And if he laughed at them, when he speaks in his anger, that's going to be terrifying. So the writer of the psalm says, you kings of the earth, kiss the Son. Do it quickly. Do it now. Do it immediately, lest his wrath be kindled. God is a God of anger and a God of wrath. and you do not want to kindle his anger or his wrath. So there comes a time when God, if you don't listen to God, God will never listen to you. But Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf for those who are Laodicea, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from full assurance and understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. So when wisdom speaks in chapter 1 of Proverbs, who's speaking? Christ is. And Christ is saying, if you don't listen to me, there's coming a day I won't be listening to you. But what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will grant you rest. The way of the sinner is hard. It's hard to keep coming up with ways of evil and then avoiding the law. It's difficult. Your life is always on the line. It's a miserable existence. And Jesus says, if you're tired of it, come to me, and I will give you rest. There was a sinner who was so fired up in his sin that he kept looking for different ways to commit his iniquity. His name was Paul, and he persecuted the church beyond measure and was trying to destroy it. But he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost of all. Yes, there is a time when God says, that's it, I've had it, it's over with. But while there is this offer of grace, latch on to it. Isaiah chapter 66. You know, people talk about the unpardonable sin and whether we can commit it today. I don't know what sin Jesus can't forgive. I don't know how it can be unpardonable. But Jesus did talk about a sin that could not be forgiven. I think it was a national sin that Israel saw their Messiah and wanted nothing to do with him. And after God sent the prophet after the prophet after the prophet after the prophet, he sent his own son and they killed him. What more can he do? So Jesus began to speak to them in parables so that they could not understand. Not so that he'd make it easier to understand. So that they could not understand. That's a judgment I don't ever wish on myself. To open God's word and not understand it at all would be a judgment beyond belief. But they didn't understand anything he was doing because they denied him. In Isaiah chapter 66, this sort of sums up everything. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? God is so great. There is nothing you can do for him. For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being. I made them all. What makes you think you're so great? But to this one I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. The infinite, almighty God will look to the person who is contrite of heart and trembles at his word. That's amazing. He doesn't need any of us. And in fact, all of us have sinned against him. But if we are of a contrite heart, he will be with us. But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. He who burns incense is like one who blesses an idol. As they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so I will choose their punishments and will bring on them what they dread. Because I called and no one answered. I spoke, but they did not listen. And they did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. God told the nation of Israel, if you are of a contrite spirit and tremble at my word, I will be with you. But what did Israel do? Increased their idolatry and did everything in which God did not delight. So what happened to them? They went into captivity. God keeps his promises. There was a man by the name of Judas who betrayed the Lord. And afterward, he went out and was sorrowful for it. But he didn't have a broken and contrite spirit. There was a man by the name of Esau that after he sold his birthright to Jacob, he sought for it with tears. But God would not listen. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts as they did in the wilderness. But come unto Christ while the offer of grace is available. And trust in him and find rest for your souls. And if God can save the Apostle Paul, he can save anyone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the teachers that we have in our lives, our parents, our friends, the ones that encourage us in the Lord. How thankful we are that we have such people in our lives. And yet even they may fail us. May we remain true to your word and be faithful unto death. And may you continue to teach us more of your greatness as we look into your word, that we might honor you with the glory that is due your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.